It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guy.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM, the major network that it is all over mid-Michigan. And we're glad you're tuning in. It's the last weekend of September. Boy, got up on Friday morning, a little snap in the air, and you'll hear from our guest, Merle Shoemaker from Allen Bob's in a bit. And he said there was even a little frost on his grass, so fall's here, and you know what that means. It's time to get in a tree and do a little hunting, and we're going to talk a bunch of that today. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. It is the season that many of us just pine for.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's, man, when it's been so hot and then that little nip in the air, and all of a sudden you're noticing the deer changing their patterns. And if you got game cams out, if you hunt, you're starting to see that everybody's feeling frisky, and just about to happen. But yeah, thanks for joining us. It is the Grilling Guys, the smokiest show on the airwaves, and we want you to make sure you check out thegrillingguys.com. when you head to our website, you'll notice a sidebar on the right side of the page. It lists all of our sponsors, and one of our oldest, if not our oldest sponsor, is Allen Bob Sports, and Merle is going to be joining us shortly. But you can click on these links and it'll bring you to their site. You'll find current specials. You'll find deals. You might get a discount just for being a grilling guy. So it could save you money. Thermopens, that's a good one. MyPillow, you know, the wonderful sheets, pillow toppers. Now they've got everything, bathrobe, slippers. Towels are on special. And, you know, they're a good company. They're out of Minnesota. They make everything in America, and that's what I love about it.
But when you go on MyPillow.com, you put in barbecue, and you'll get the Grilling Guys discount.
That's right.
BBQ.
You put in
that's
BBQ.
All you need to do.
So I am headed up to Whipple this afternoon, I believe, and I'm going to do a little more work. Last weekend, my best girl and I went up and to my hunting spot and put up some 4x4s, making a permanent frame for the expedition tent because the wind was unkind to the aluminum frame last year. I leave it up for 6 weeks, and the snow and the wind, I got up there for my last hunt, and it was a mess. Thankfully, the canvas was in good shape.
Yep.
But so anyway, made a nice permanent frame. We camped out, and I'll tell you what, to be out in the wilderness this time of year, there's no hunters yet. There's no shooting. There's no crazies. There's no SUVs. And where we're at, we have 400 acres. That's pretty well protected. And the loons, the eagles, it's just magical.
Yep, it is. Great time of year.
Yeah.
Great time of year. And don't forget about that tailgating, too. That's where I'm headed later today.
Oh.
We've got this Mammoth Ferris State University versus Waldorf. Not sure about Waldorf.
I think they have a good salad.
Right, yeah, exactly. And a great hotel in Chicago, too, the Astoria, yeah. But I'm sure they're going to bring a team. But anyway, yeah, so after the show, I'm headed up to Ferris, do a little tailgating with the fraternity brothers.
And well, then, it's going to be a big day up there.
Right, yep.
I know Jim Crank is supplying a lot of beer for some of the sororities up there.
So yeah,
Crankers
right.
Will be.
Leave it to Jim. Yeah, that'd be good, right? He that's the guy who knows what he's doing in that arena.
Well, my waitress, one of my workers, is Rachel from, and I met her at Deer Camp the last couple years at Crankers.
Easy. You met her at Deer Camp.
Well, at Deer Camp, I always stop into Crankers for some chili dogs someday for lunch.
Sure.
And very often I'm there alone or bring my brother-in-law.
This is
or something.
Going in the wrong direction, man.
And no, but I get some chili dogs, and I get to talking to this young lady, and it turns out she's in the nursing program with one of our surrogate daughters.
Oh, nice.
So we became friends. She graduated. She's down in Grand Rapids now waiting to get her license, and she's working at the Grilling Guys Takeout.
Well, that's what a Ferris education will get you, is a waitress job at the Grilling Guys Takeout. Woo!
I'll tell you what. She and my daughter Olivia last night were at Up in Smoke, the final episode of Up in Smoke,
yeah.
And they were jammed. It was
Cool.
Quite wonderful.
No, I'm kidding. I'm a Ferris alumni. That's why I can say that. I didn't want to dog our Bulldogs party. Didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Premier, they're at Premier Botanics, yep. And of course they're good sponsors of ours. And yeah, it's just kind of a cool little marriage. Up in Smoke, Cheech and Chong. I don't know, Merle. What do you think of that?
There's a lot to unpack there, Bob. That was a little information dump right there, but.
I caught him thinking about how he has to get back to the store.
I was thinking about deer pictures.
Are you getting some good images on your phone?
Oh, yeah. I was out in the parking lot looking at deer pictures when you guys were waving at me, I think. So.
Well, and in that vein, you sold me a wonderful Tacticam, I believe is the brand.
Stealth Cam, sorry. Yeah.
It sends me pictures on my phone all the time.
Yeah.
That was a good call on your part. And I can't imagine all those years when I'd go up and just get a card and read them at the site.
It seems like it's really antiquated, doesn't it now?
Does. Yeah.
So bad. Merle, tell me about those. Do you need a cell service on those? How do those work?
You need a cell service, and the cameras have their own cell service. So,
okay, you know, so you pay for a line like on your cell bill or something?
I pay $5 a month.
Okay, cool.
It's nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the price of the camera, and then you have, you know, the price of the service, which is, like Bob said, $5 a month for like 1,000 pictures. And, you know, it's really cheap. You don't have to have the same service as your phone. The app is free. Comes basically with the camera. So, you know, it's relatively cheap, and you don't ever have to, you know, spend a buck for, you know, a gallon of gas.
Right.
Do you have those in stock?
We have plenty of them in stock right now. Yeah,
I just pulled up my app right now, and it's wonderful because I'll get a little notification, and it sent me a picture, and I can't wait to look at it.
So
sometimes it's a bear. And it's like, you're right by my blind.
Or you might get a call from a buddy who says, man, there's something that's getting in my garage. And so he sets up a trail cam outside the dog door, and damn if is in it four raccoons are coming into his garage
through my pet door,
eating his cat food and spreading stuff all over the garage.
I've had a similar problem on my deck doing the same thing.
So they're handy for a lot of things.
Right. Yeah, they are.
Let's say maybe the neighbor's coming over a little too often when you're not home.
So these are dual purpose. This time of year, they're hanging from a tree out in the woods to track the activity around your hunting site, but they can be used for home security,
too.
Why
is Conrad pulling in my driveway again? That's all I want to know.
Yeah, you can combine your services on multiple cameras, too. So, you know, if you need some more cameras, you can put all those services together.
They all run to the one camera, and it sends everything off in a batch.
Right, basically.
And then you might need a little bit bigger subscription than I have. I have, like, the $5 one just because I've never filled it. But if you have two or three cameras, you might have to go up to $10. Hey, for 2-3 months a year, who cares?
Well, what Merle said, you're still paying $4 a gallon for gas, and if you're going to throw some in your truck and drive out to your hunting site and back, if you're not privileged to have ground that you live on, right? I mean, it makes a ton of sense. And you can show them to your buddies, and, you know, you've emailed me dozens and dozens of those, you know, and I know you're not going up to Whipple to do it, which for you is, you know, 50, 60 miles away. Yeah. So,
and let's say you've got violators on your property.
Oh, it works great for that. I've caught many of people, trespassers on our property, using the cameras and, you know, sending the picture to you instant, you know, when they're there.
Right.
Right.
Call to the sheriff and they don't trespass anymore.
Right.
Nice.
So, they work great for security. To watch over your land, you know, to watch over your house, and, you know, like we said, it's relatively cheap for, you know, sending the picture right away. You're not stinking up your hunting spot either.
Right,
going in all the time to grab your cards out of your camera.
That's a great point. So. Yep. And that is just one of the things that you'll find at Allen Bob's Millbrook Tack on 68th Street in U.S. 131 in Grand Rapids, Michigan. If you have not been there yet this year, you're missing out because we're going to talk about some of the cool ways that these people can help you and your whitetail quest.
All right, coming up next, hang on because we're going to put you up in a tree and we're going to get you there safely. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family has been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards. Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's going to be big. Stick around and put down the rake.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. And Jethro FM, country with a twist, and barbecues on Saturday. So, I am the only guy in radio that says network as opposed to network. That T and that K.
I left it alone. No, I saw it,
and I knew what I did when I did it. But you know what? That's what we have. We'll make some chicken necks here, turkey necks, and we'll have some network. But anyway, I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob, and we got Merle Shoemaker from Allen Bob Sports. It's that time of year. Deer season starts a week from today. So might not be the best day to be in the woods, but it's a day you can get in there legally. So we're going to talk about that today.
Yeah, and I think what I would like to know and what many people need to do is to make sure they're constantly shooting and making sure their sights are accurate.
Well, that, you know, that's the thing with bow hunting. You know, that's all part of it, right? So, you know, the part of, about bow hunting, and one of the things that I like the most is that it's not just a month and a half season.
No.
It's 4 month season.
Right.
Right? Because you need to practice. You need to be able to shoot. You need to sight in your bow. You know, it's all the preparation that goes into it that's fun. You know, crossbows have taken over a little bit because we have a busy world. And
the boomers are all getting old.
Yeah, exactly.
Junk shoulders.
You know, you got bad shoulders. And, you know, we're all feeling our age a little bit. And, you know, but I'll bow hunt as long as I can, you know. And it's, you know, part of it is preseason practice. And, you know, there's a lot of things you can do to make sure that your arrow's accurate.
Let's talk about that. You sold me a target, that big bag that the arrows actually pull out of.
Correct. Yeah.
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 Yep. I have one of those, too. It's a yellow one. It's got, like, bumblebees all over it or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We have several different kinds of targets, but, you know, the bag targets are real simple to pull out. You know, you don't have to worry too much about, you know, standing on top of the target and pulling it out.
Embarrassing.
You know, right. Yeah. They're really, really easy.
And your arrow won't go through it like it will that bale of straw.
That's correct. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, and they're relatively cheap. You know, they're, you know, $40-$50 targets, and you know, they make it real easy. You can move them around and take them with you and to your hunting camp, and you know, it doesn't hurt. Once the season starts too, I want to remind some people to keep on shooting. Don't just stop shooting because the hunting season started, you know, because you need to keep in shape. A lot of people stop shooting and they kind of lose the, you know,
muscle
the feel
memory
for a little bit, you know, and it's real important to you know, stay out there and practice, and make sure your bow's tuned too, because you know, we want to do the deer a favor, you know, and
yes,
and make sure that
do
kill
a favor
is,
and actually kill them,
and that is quick and clean,
quick and clean,
you know. And one of the things that you need to do that is you need to have good arrow penetration, and if you don't have good arrow flight, you're not going to have good arrow penetration. That's what really what penetration boils down to. So make sure you get your bow tuned. If you don't know how to do it, bring it to us at Allen Bob's, and we'll paper tune it, make sure it's flying straight. And, you can't believe how much difference it makes for accuracy as well as penetration for that. So
right, and
real important.
And paper training, what that allows you to do is the hole should be just the size of the broadhead or the arrow tip, and the fletch maybe tears it a little bit. But if you get long tears left, right, or up or down, your arrow's not flying flat, and it's wobbling in the air. And there you are. It takes a ton of that impact off of that arrow when it hits something solid.
That is correct. Yeah. So, you know, if you're not sure how to do that, you can shoot through paper. You get some crepe paper or what have you. And
They don't make newspapers anymore, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Shoot through it from, you know, 5 to 7 yards. And if it's tearing, if you're not seeing just a hole with 3 slots, then your arrow's not flying right.
Are you getting bows yet? I mean, is the supply and logistics, is that all working?
Yeah, bows are not a problem.
Can people bring their old bow in and trade it in?
We don't take trade-ins.
Okay.
You know, but used bows are easy enough to sell.
Yeah.
But we would end up with not much room in our store if we did that.
Oh, so. Right. Yeah. Well, that's good. So the guy like me that doesn't practice enough. Thanks, Bob. The guys like me that doesn't practice enough gets this crossbow out maybe 2 weeks ago, and it feels like it's shooting. I'm hitting my target. I'm doing things. That thing's sat in the case for 11 months, 10 months, whatever it's been since the last time I did it, and I'm just thinking, what do I need to look for? Is it just that paper tuning to make sure that? Is there any physical inspection I need to do to make sure something isn't frayed, loosened up?
There's really not anything you need to do with a crossbow. The arrow rides down a rail, and that's what guides the arrow.
Yep.
So you don't really have anything like that with a bow, but with a crossbow, you don't really need to paper tune it, but you want to really inspect your strings on your crossbows. Make sure there's no frays, things like that, because they do break. They store a lot of energy. One of the things you want to look at with a crossbow is the cables that run underneath the rail. There's a lot of wear on those. They ride on that rail on a cable slide, and they ride in and out of the cable slide itself, and they wear the cables. And then another thing you want to look at is timing. The timing is the one thing that'll throw the arrow off one way or the other, left or right. The timing on the cams, if you're not sure how to inspect the timing on your cams, once again, bring it to us. We can do a quick check, say, you know, either your cams are in time or they're not.
How long would you say this?
Generally, I see about 2 years with a crossbow. They don't really last too long. One of the things with a crossbow is the strings, the serving, which rides on the rail, wears out real quick because you're supposed to lube that serving. There's a lot of heat and friction every time you shoot, and it wears that serving out, and you need to make sure that's lubed, and most people do not do it.
What would you lube that with?
You lube it with just a regular string lube or a rail lube, they call it.
It's like a silicone based. It doesn't smell.
Right. It's a non-petroleum based oil, basically, or a paste.
Yep.
It boils down to.
And crossbows are just getting to be hugely, hugely popular. But how about the female archers? Are you seeing more women getting into archery?
We see. I wouldn't say more women now. But there are quite a few women into archery, and I just sold one to a woman yesterday, a crossbow. So there's, you know, a lot of women. One thing about the crossbows that makes it nice for the women is they can crank them back. They don't have to pull them back.
Right.
So typically a woman can pull back at the most generally 50 pounds on a bow. And also, you know, you're pretty light in that respect for bow hunting, although it will do the job. So, you know, sometimes they feel like if they can't pull that weight, they go to a crossbow. So,
and what would you typically want them hitting, 70?
No, I mean,
you've got my bow set at 72.
Yeah, 50 is fine. 50 is fine for shooting and shooting deer. But You know, there's a lot of women, if they don't shoot a lot, you know, a lot of women don't have a whole lot of time to shoot, you know, so they don't get that muscle memory. If they can only shoot 40 pounds, that's a little bit of an issue. So nice. 50 is good. Yeah.
All right. Whether she's 40 or 50 pounds, I still like her. So that's a good thing. Coming up next, we're going to go up in a tree a little bit. And there's these things called a sling that you're going to want to learn about, because I know that Merle's an expert on these. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tech, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at MillbrookTech.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of, to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guy.
Hit me.
Welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM with a twist. Man, good to be here. It's deer season. We got Merle from Allen Bob Sports with us. And Barbecue Bob, take it away, brother.
Well, not only that, but don't forget, you're on your way up to Ferris. So WBRN in Big Rapids carries us. WJIM in Lansing,
yep.
The Big Talker in Lansing carries our show. So thanks and welcome to all of you out there, as well as the Jethro folks and everybody online getting our podcast. If you're not getting the podcast, you go to our website, thegrillingguys.com. Top right side, you'll see headphones. Click on them. We'll dump this thing right on your phone, and you'll never be sorry.
Just like a picture of the deer running under your stand.
So I've been shooting out of ladder stands forever, and some of them, my big one is 22 feet tall. And the older I get, the more that harness is important, because there's snow, ice, all these things. This sling thing, I think, how can that keep you safer, and how does that help you climb?
Well, one of the things with ladder stands is that's about the safest type of stand you can get into. You know, it's easy to climb a ladder, you know, and stay in a ladder stand, but
they creak though. You get up there, and if they've been out a little bit, and there might be a little rust or something on them if you left it out, and then you move just right, and it sometimes creaks.
But they're comfortable to sleep in.
Oh well,
yes, they are.
Yeah. You still need a harness for that, because
you know that's
I've seen you fall out of a bag chair sleeping, so you don't want to be in the air.
That's one of my biggest complaints about most tree stands is, you know, they creak. You're highlighted in the tree. Because they stick out away from the tree. So your platform, especially on a ladder stand, you're standing out generally about 3 feet from the tree almost.
Right.
And you're highlighted in the sky. So when a deer can really notice any movement.
Once the leaves are gone, especially.
They'll really notice you. And so I don't know how many times you've been busted in a ladder stand by deer. But that is one thing about a saddle. Is that you don't get busted by deer. You look like a branch in the tree.
So tell us how you set the thing up and what the mechanics are to actually get this thing in a tree and then climb it.
So you need a way to get up the tree.
Sticks.
So you need some climbing sticks or tree steps. Climbing sticks is my favorite. There's a number of different portable options that are super lightweight, under 5 pounds for the whole set up to get up the tree.
You're saying they're finally making them out of aluminum?
They're making them out of aluminum, and they're making some really high-tech stuff.
So they're full-figure friendly for a guy like me, can climb them and not have to worry about it. You strap them to the tree, I'm assuming?
That is correct, yep.
Right.
And they're coming up with real innovative ways to strap them to the tree that is really fast and really really quick connect for the straps and the ropes.
Because if you've got old sticks like mine, they're steel.
Correct.
They've got these ridiculous straps that you'll die trying to get the thing on.
Right.
So you also have to have a safety sling on when you're putting your sticks up, so you're not trying to hang on and strap that thing in.
Correct. Correct. So, you know, with the type that you have, the steel sticks, those are not bad if you have your own property and you want to leave them out in the right. woods. There's nothing wrong with those. I use them. I also have I have both kinds of sets, the lightweight aluminum. But the lightweight aluminum, as you're putting those up, you can climb the tree and you're using what's called a lineman's harness. So a lineman's harness hooks to your saddle and you're always attached to the tree. Wow. If there's a slip, you're not going to fall on your back, break your back. As you're going up, when you get up to the top, your top step, however high you want to go, and you don't have to go 30 feet high on most trees, but you can go 15 is plenty in some areas, you know, depending on the cover. Once you get up, you're in your lineman's harness. You have your saddle on you, so you would take your rope out of the saddle bag, which is a little small bag that's hanging on the side of your saddle. You take your tree rope, you wrap it around one time through a loop. It's got a carabiner on it, and you hook it into your bridge rope on your saddle. Done.
Wow. That's too easy.
Yeah. At that time, you can take your lineman's harness off. So you're just using your tree rope, your tree tether, and you can move 360 degrees around the tree with your steps. So you have to have a platform for your feet to push against. So you're pushing against your platform or the tree to make your movements.
And that wouldn't necessarily be your climbing stick either. You'd want a couple of extra big steps like you showed me that.
Exactly. Your climbing top of your climbing stick is a good option. So they make platforms also that go on top of these climbing sticks. I don't necessarily recommend those because they can get you out too far from the tree. But it's a set of tree steps. If you have one tree step, if you imagine four of those tree steps on a strap that wraps around the tree, you have a set of four steps that go around the tree.
Makes sense. So something to anchor your foot on, left or right.
Yeah, you have to have pressure and leverage, and you have to have that leverage to pull your bow back as well.
Well, that's where I was going next, is that I'm envisioning this. I don't have one of these, but I'm envisioning this, that I'm actually sitting in this saddle, and it's almost like a bag chair without legs.
That is correct.
All right?
Yes.
So that is... for a guy that's got to extend one arm, pull the bow back with the other, and try not to wiggle too much and get steady, that's got to take some practice. You better get up there and shoot out of this thing several times and get comfortable with how it works, right?
It's really, yeah, you want to be able to, you want to practice out of it, but it's not as hard as you might think it is.
It might be easier also if you're shooting a recurve than it is if you're shooting a compound.
It probably is.
Or a crossbow is like carrying a gun up there, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You wouldn't necessarily need that leverage against the tree to shoot a crossbow, but you do need something. You know, you're pressing when you're, you know, pulling back a bow, you're pressing against the ground whether you know it or not. You know, so you need something to press against, and also with each movement, how you put pressure on the tree in each one of those steps will swivel you around the tree.
Makes sense.
So you then can your go knees left, are going to be hitting the tree a bunch.
Yeah, when you're in a comfortable sitting position, in a waiting position, your knees are mostly against the tree.
Oh, okay, so this, I just had a revelation that I didn't understand. I'm facing the tree.
You're facing the tree.
In the saddle. Yeah. I'm not, my back is not to the tree. Well, that changes everything.
So do you have like something for knee protection then it goes with these kits maybe?
Correct, yeah. Knee pads are a must. You can use just about any kind of knee pads, but the ones that are developed and designed for saddle hunting are the best because they stay in place. Most of the cheaper knee pads kind of swivel around your leg and they don't stay in place.
I thought maybe you had to wear chaps when you're in a saddle.
That's an option. Oh, yeah. You're always looking for that cowboy angle.
Hey, man, I got it. All right.
Well, Millbrook Tack probably has a chance.
That was where I was going, but we missed that lead-in.
We've got a whole new hunting season coming up here.
Right. But, so, Merle, I'm sitting there, so my I'm facing the tree. I'm picturing this, And what size of tree do you usually choose for this?
Generally, I'll try to stay into about a 15-inch diameter to 20, not much bigger than 20.
Because I was thinking you got to see by it. Yeah. If I'm looking at the tree, I'm constantly left and right. I'm not seeing what's behind me, right? I mean, so, you always got that when you're hunting. But.
Yeah, you can, if you imagine, though, you can wrap around that tree. You know, you have one single rope that you're hanging by. And it's hooked into a bridge that the carabiner slides on this bridge. So all your angles moving around the tree, 360, you can go any direction you want to with just a little bit of pressure on one foot. And that's the beauty of saddle hunting, is when you see a deer coming from one direction, you can slide on the backside of the tree.
Very carefully.
It doesn't make a noise. There's nothing to make any noise. So, you know, that's the beauty of saddle hunting, why you don't get busted.
And they have a tree in Allen Bob's that they will get up and demo this thing for.
Can you try it before you buy it? No,
oh, yeah. Yeah, you definitely can. Really? We put a lot of people in saddles. We do have a tree in the store. So you'll get a real good feel for it.
I didn't know you guys have been there that long to grow a 20-inch tree, but that's good. Good. All right, coming up next, we're going to continue this because I want to learn a little bit more about these saddles, but then also there's a lot of other really cool stuff that's out. Innovation happens in every industry, and it sure is in the hunting one. So you listen to the Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys. Thanks for tuning in. Big Rapids coming up to see you today. Do a little tailgating. Lansing, all the Jethro Network. We appreciate you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Merle, let's pick up that conversation where we left off. Couple things that I want to know about these saddles. Is, of course, if a guy like me that doesn't have one, what's my investment to get in? And can you tell me there's got to be some ancillary products other than the saddle? We touched on the knee pads. But what does it take to get me set up to do this?
It will take about $500 to $600 to get you in a tree, to have the accessories that you need. So you need your climbing stick, your saddle. You need... There's a couple of accessories. A backpack's a real good thing to have. And most people have backpacks already that they hunt with that you can hang in the tree. You have to carry your stuff out there, and you have to do something with it. You need a bow hanger. You need your tree steps that go – your platform that you're putting your feet on. And whatever else you might think you would need in – a deer blind, or what you use in a deer blind, you remember you have to hang it in a tree. So, right. You know, you have to, if you're bringing something out there with you, you know, you have to maybe some accessory hooks. But other than that, you know, $500-$600 will get you into a really good saddle and most of the really good stuff that you need for saddle hunting.
So my next question is how long can you sit in this? I'm a, you know, tree stand hunter. And you get up, you stretch every half hour, 45 minutes, and you sit back down. You know, you look around, make sure nothing's there before you do it kind of thing. But these saddles, you said there's like a platform. Is that something that if I needed to, I could stand up on and take a break or not so much?
Yeah, you can stand straight up if you'd like to. You can go in a sitting position if you'd like to. You can straddle the tree if you'd like to. So And it all depends on the saddle that you get. That's a really good question, because you can get some saddles are not near as comfortable and don't have the adjustability in them for the different angles that you need to take your pressure off of your feet. So I can typically hunt in a saddle all day. I know with experience, you know how to make that saddle in your setup comfortable based on your tree tether length and things like that. So in some of the better saddles have adjustable bridges.
And the bridge is what?
So the bridge is where it hooks into the tree tether itself. So your tree tether has a carabiner on it.
Right.
That just
Which is
hooks
a big clip.
On, right. Yeah. Big clip that hooks onto your bridge. So that bridge is then hooked into your saddle some way. But they have developed a way where that bridge where it hooks into your saddle is adjustable on a loop. So it adjusts your angle as you're hanging.
There's a lot to this.
Which is real important. Yeah. And you figure it out. I mean, it's all built in there, and it's there for you to adjust it. But you figure that out once you hunt in it a couple times, you know, how to make that more comfortable for you.
Yeah.
Depending on the angle you want to sit. If you like to sit, or do you like to stand, or do you don't like a three-quarter position, you can do it all. So, you know, but some saddles just aren't comfortable enough for some people. They can last about 3 hours in a saddle, and that's it.
Well, know? I'm wondering, you know, if that takes a little, like a saddle on a horse. I mean, takes a little getting used to. First time on a horse makes people walk funny.
Right.
Yeah, you really need to fit it. Yeah. You need to really fit it to your situation, and they're adjustable. So,
but that's sound, you know, putting the harness up is going to be the trickier part. Going to take a little dexterity, and you have to have your lineman's rope, and I have two of them. I love them.
Yeah.
I went years without them. I don't know why, but being stupid.
So I have a question. You've got this tree in the store, so you can teach me how to use this thing before I roll out in the woods for the first time and don't do something right and fall out of it.
Oh, most
like
definitely.
That, right?
You know, that's most definitely. We can teach you how to do it. What the steps are. You know, in what order you need to do to go up and keep yourself tethered to the tree 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of people don't do.
Right.
You know, I feel so much more safe in a saddle rather than a tree stand just because I'm hooked in all the time.
So
if you think about it, you're hanging from your safety line.
Well, and
is what you're doing,
and I'm guilty, but I have a nice harness. You sold me a really nice vest harness, and I strap it to the tree once I get there. But when I'm going up, I'm not using that rope with a neat little bell and all that stuff. I'm kind of taking a chance, and I'm going to have to readdress that on ladders. But
it's
dangerous.
I understand, but I think the other way is even more dangerous is coming down, because it's usually dark half the time. Right?
Correct.
And if I was hooked up top, somehow I got to move that down but keep myself tethered. There's a little bit, I don't think it's anything to be afraid of, but there's technique.
And then all those little saplings you sheared off down on the ground that are sticking up about a foot.
Well, that's one of the things. I mean, when you have a tree tether, you disconnected your lineman's harness while you're hunting. So what you do is you hook your lineman's harness back up, then disconnect your tree tether. And now you got a lineman's harness back down on.
So that's got a permanent rope that just stays up there. Every time you go up, you just hook to that.
Correct.
Use your climber. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you could have multiple ropes and multiple trees if you want to. You could leave your rope up there.
Right.
But you don't really need to, because it's really quick to hook those up.
Yep.
So it's not much of a problem.
If you think about it, when you leave a tree at night, sometimes you don't know where you're going to be the next day, and you might not want to take it. So to have a few extras would be...
That's correct.
That's a good
investment. Correct. But going back to, you know, the safety thing is when you're going up and down, most tree stand accidents happen going in and out of the tree stand.
Yes, exactly.
Because that's when people disconnect.
Right.
Most of the time. They're not using a tether or a harness to go down the tree and up the tree, like Bob said. And, you know, that's... You can... One slip off of a tree step getting out of your tree stand is
my
all it takes.
My feet got wet going from the house to the car this morning because the grass was wet. We are walking in the dark. It's going to be damp and dewy.
Right.
And then you got rubber boots on metal steps. And guess what? They're slippery.
Right.
Happens that's, every time.
You got nobody correct. To sue but yourself.
Right. And one slip and it can be bad. So let's go. What other products? Give me two or three other products in the last couple minutes that we have that are in the store that you think that every bow hunter should have.
Well, there's some, I would say some ozone products. So for descenting, those are real important.
So it creates ozone. You put your stuff in a bag and it.
That's correct.
Nice.
Right. You can use those for your vehicle.
Yes.
A lot of people carry their things in their vehicle, throw their clothes or what have you in the back seat of their truck, and your truck smells like dog and everything else.
What
and,
a great idea!
You can use that ozone unit to descent your clothes in a bag, put it in your truck, let it run, descent your truck. So they're a real handy item, and we have one that you can hang in the tree. So it blows ozone while you're in the tree.
Does it work?
And it covers. Yes, it
have
does.
Have you tried it?
It does.
And
I've been using ozone for probably 15 years.
No
see,
kidding.
Bob, though, but wow. I heard brisket smoke. The deer really like that. This is the grilling guy, right?
Right, right.
No, they are thinking, that smells vaguely familiar, and it's scaring the deer turds out of me.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Kin. That smells like smoked kin.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the ozone, what else?
Ozone and a good headlamp. We were just talking about that. Good headlamps are really good to have going up and down the trees.
And a spare.
I've been having spare batteries.
Yep.
I've run out of batteries plenty of times.
But don't they charge with a USB now?
Well, you can get, we have rechargeables and we have that run on AAAs generally is what they do because they're so lightweight.
Well, you've got the big one like Randy got from you. I think he stole it from you during
I did.
I would also recommend when you're doing a headlamp, if you don't want to spook game, that you get one that is green, red, and white. You need the white to really track deer, but you don't want to walk in and out of your stand with the white light because it will spook game. You need to use red or green. Yep. So
interesting.
And the red and green are handy in case you're doing any other type of maneuvers. You know, when society breaks down, you might want to stay visible.
Right.
All right. On that note, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grill. Merle, where can they find you?
We are on 68th Street, right by 131, right off 68th Street exit.
Grand Rapids, yep.
Grand Rapids.
And you know what? You guys, take an opportunity to go there. The selection is like nowhere else in town.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. But we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And if you are going hunting next week, get up there safe, get down safer, and we'll talk with you then.
Yeah. See you.